You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome to Episode 7 of Earth Station MCU. We've got a couple of reviews now up on iTunes and Stitcher, but we would love to hear from more of you. The ratings help us to make sure that we show up higher when someone does a search for us, so it really does make a big difference. Please spread the word to everyone you know and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. Feedback is always welcome there, of course, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. So no huge news this week, at least not on the level of the Sony-Marvel deal that we had last week, but there's a few little tidbits, and we did have an excellent episode of Agent Carter as we head into the home stretch, so we'll be discussing that in a little bit, but first I would like to welcome back Mr. George Marston.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how's it going with you, sir?
Super good, very busy.
Excellent, yes, busy seems to be the word of the week this week. And I would also like to welcome Mr. John Raven.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Excellent, excellent. Good to hear. You keeping busy as well?
Yep. Just, writing a lot and working a lot. And it's just been a crazy week as far as meetings and having to go to other things. And
now you're up in...
do a lot of processing.
In South Carolina, is that right?
That's correct.
So, in Atlanta, we had the big snow that never actually hit here. Did you guys get any up there?
You know, in the Midlands of South Carolina, we actually got jack squat.
Yeah.
My parents up in the upstate, they got ice and freezing rain and all that fun stuff, but we didn't get anything down here.
Yes, I'm very thankful that Atlanta missed out this time because we do not deal well with snow and ice. So.
Yeah. But, you know, you get the great chance to see Chipper going out and saving people on his 4x4. So
there is that. So speaking of busy and some disappointments, I know you were a bit sad to see a certain toy not be available. Is that right?
A little bit. I mean, and not too sad, but what happened earlier this week, I believe on Tuesday, Lego allowed its VIP members in North America, so only Canada and the U.S., could go ahead and pre-order the Ultimate Collector Series Helicarrier from Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was gone within a day.
Wow.
Which is, it's fine with me because I'm going to wait till about mid-March whenever they have their times two VIP points.
Okay.
And, you know, so instead of getting $15 rewards back on this, I'm going to get $30.
That's pretty sweet.
That works out well for me, I think.
But it makes me happy anytime we get to see toys like that doing well, because I just love seeing things like that are creative selling well.
And it should be available for pre-order for VIP members in Europe this week. And the interesting thing about that makes me hate them all is not only are they getting that, but as a special offer, they're also getting a Winter Soldier minifigure.
No way!
Yeah, and we didn't get that in North America.
Oh, totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that that's Captain America or Winter Soldier?
It's Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Stick your fingers in your ears if you haven't seen Winter Soldier yet, but yeah, you're getting Bucky Barnes if you're in Europe.
Well, I'm going to assume that most of the people that have are listening to here probably have seen it, but you never know, and of course we will spoil the heck out of this episode and everything else, and also probably spoil a little bit of Kingsman, because that certainly ended up being tying in with this.
Okay, for that, for Kingsman, I'm going to have to stick my fingers in my ears.
Oh, whatever, whatever. we had a little bit of casting news for AKA Jessica Jones. I'm not really sure. They're not giving out character names at this point.
They've given out one.
Oh, did they?
See if I can find his.
Yeah, it was Malcolm.
Malcolm, yeah.
Oh, okay. And who's that? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Okay.
At least one thing I've read suggests that he's Malcolm, who was a minor character in the Heroes for Hire comic book series.
Oh, okay. That would be cool.
The other two, the girl's name, Hope, character's name is Hope. And we don't know much about her beyond the fact that she's a client for Alias Investigations.
Okay.
And the third guy is simply described as a cop who takes his job to protect and serve very seriously, whatever that ominous statement means.
Right, right. Very cool. We also had some casting news about a cartoon for Guardians of the Galaxy animated series.
Yes.
I didn't know there were cartoons on TV anymore.
Oh, yeah. Disney actually has a lot of Marvel cartoons that are still going on.
Really
and,
cool.
Yeah, I saw the preview footage for Guardians of the Galaxy at New York last year, and it looked really good. Like,
awesome.
Better than most of the stuff that Disney's doing right now cartoon-wise. So.
Very cool, yeah. I am from the generation that every Saturday morning would get up and sit in front of the TV and watch cartoons, and it makes me sad that it seems like that's not a thing anymore, but...
No, you watch yourself, though, because, I mean, Phineas and Ferb is amazing, so...
There is that, yeah.
And they actually did their Marvel crossover last season, I think.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting, very cool. One other thing that that I've been trying to keep an eye on is ratings for Agent Carter. Mm-hmm. And the latest news that I've heard is it's encouraging. I mean, it's doing... I think it got second in its time slot. Not this last week, but the week before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing. It looks like is going to beat NCIS Los Angeles at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
But, right. Well, and something I think is interesting and very telling is one of my other fandoms that I am very serious about is Supernatural. I love my Winchester boys, and it's been annoying for me because S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter have been airing right in the exact same slot, so I can't watch my Supernatural until later. But they're moving Supernatural to Wednesdays, so it sounds like they're realizing that they can't that the geek population is not watching their show; they're watching somebody else. So,
not to mention, why split the audience?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to bring upon the wrath of all the Supernatural fans, but. From what I've been reading, it's kind of getting stretched a little bit thin, and a lot of people out there can't believe that they haven't canceled it already.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it's been very uneven for a couple of seasons. There are a couple of plot lines that they come back to that are fantastic, and that they've got anything that's got Mark Shepard in it, I'm gonna watch because he's just fun. But
which is pretty much everything that we all watch ever. He shows up at some point.
Has he ever been in a Marvel movie?
You know what? I don't think so. Not yet.
So yeah, I mean he's showed up in Doctor Who and in Firefly and oh my gosh, like
Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek Voyager.
Yep. All kinds of things, but I think you're right. I think they need to find a place for him somewhere in the MCU because he's in everything else and he's awesome.
Yes, and he's such a nice person if you ever meet him.
Oh really? I haven't. That's cool. Very cool. All right, I think that about wraps us up for news for this week. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about this episode of Agent Carter Snafu.
Hey, tune in to the Ratchet Retrocast, your source for all things retro and steampunk.
Welcome back, and now we're going to talk a little bit about this episode of Agent Carter, Snafu, and this is the second-to-last episode that we're going to be seeing, so we're starting to see all of the plot lines come together, and it's going to be interesting to see how they take things from here in that last episode. So what do you think about this episode, John?
Oh man, there's so many things I loved about it, and so many like cringeworthy moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between obviously Jarvis trying to come in and help Peggy and, you know, everything starting to move towards a head,
mm-hmm.
and them really realize going from, or I mean, SHIELD, or not SHIELD, but the SSR going from, you're a traitor, you betrayed all right. of us, to, holy crap, you're right about this, let's all get together and beat it.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, the kind of the heartbreaking moments where, and you started seeing it last season, or, well, not last season, but last up, mm-hmm. last week when you knew what the doctor was doing
Yevchenko?
To Dooley.
Yes. Yeah.
And you knew it almost had to end that way, especially after what happened to the to Agent Yauch.
Yeah, he was the one that walked out into traffic, right?
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, of course, you know, the theater scene, I'm surprised I didn't have nightmares after watching it.
Yeah. Well, both of those deep mm-hmm. ties to Marvel Comics.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So what did those, was it in Agent Carter stuff, or are those from other things?
Captain America.
Okay.
What was the doctor's name? Was it Yevchenko? Was that
Yevchenko,
it?
I think so.
Yevchenko, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was clearly an homage to Dr. Faustus, who I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
when
okay.
When he first showed up. Who's a, he had the power to mind control people with his voice, basically to hypnotize them.
Uh-huh.
And he was a big conspirator in the death of Captain America in the comics.
Ooh.
So I think that that was kind of a cool analog. And then the weapon, Weapon 17,
mm-hmm.
was pretty clearly an homage to the Mad Bomb, which mm-hmm. was a Jack Kirby story when he returned to Marvel in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weapon that basically caused people to attack each other, go crazy, and fight each other. And it recently showed up again in Avengers.
Oh, neat. Mm. Very cool. Well, the other place, and John, you'll have to plug your ears for this, I guess. But the other place that I've seen that is, of course, last weekend we had Kingsman open up, and I went to see that, and I loved it until the last 15 minutes or so, but that's that's another discussion. But there is a climactic scene in there where the protagonist, the Colin Firth character, goes into a church. And the bad guy, who in this case is Samuel L. Jackson, basically sets something off in everybody's cell phones, and they all just go insane violent and start attacking each other.
Hmm.
And of course, since Colin Firth's character is a trained super spy, he basically massacres about 40 people.
Wow.
And then the big climax of the movie is that they're going to set that off and basically kill, get the majority of the world to kill each other. So I was wondering when I saw, well, first when I saw that, I'm like, wow, that's just like Kingsman. But what do you think their point is going to be in doing that? Because they've implied that next week they're going to set it off in Times Square or something. What would be the point of that?
I mean, it could be simply like a first strike, like in the idea of, well, that people know or knew at this point or suspected that the Cold War was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So better to take off, you know, and
but Times Square?
Throw the first punch and you show this is a weapon we have.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's kind of the ultimate act of terrorism in a way
because
it's turning the people against each other.
And at that point in its history, Russia did not yet have the secrets to a nuclear device.
Correct.
So it's one. You can see that as one of the reasons why Leviathan is trying to get its hands on any weapon it can.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know if they. It was kind of unclear from the way that they did it. I guess they have an additional supply of it because there was basically like a briefcase full of it, presumably because he walked out with a very large briefcase. But
right.
then there was whatever they put into the baby carriage. So yeah, crazy stuff. Yevchenko, the other thing that made me think of that is you saw what he's reading at the beginning of the episode?
No, I didn't pay that close attention.
The Tragical History of Dr. Faustus!
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yes, so I think that's you're definitely on the money with that.
And you know, I will say one thing I did like about Yevchenko's, I can't pronounce his name, his character in this episode,
mm-hmm.
was, you know, when they show him in the war, and they show him actually using his powers to kind of to help someone,
mm-hmm.
just to show that he was, you know, he was a different man before getting drafted into Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know his real, like I would say, we don't know his full motivations. But there's a good guy in there because it seemed like for a little while at least he was actually willing to help Dooley with his marital problems. And of course, Ed was just using it to gain access to him.
Yeah, I think that was just feeling him out to find a soft spot where he could you know get inside his head.
Right.
Yeah. True. Incidentally, speaking of Dooley, you guys caught that the vest was basically Extremis, right?
That's a good
what
point.
It seemed like.
Yeah. I mean, but Extremis or Extremis is in a more like in a drug form, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah it's like a virus.
Like a biological component to it.
So
it's the same function. It's a protective agent that caused overheating into explosion. Mm-hmm. So pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because that, although I was thinking about it when they said, oh, you can't take it off or it will explode. And I was thinking, why did Howard have something like that? It's like, if you know it doesn't work, why keep it around?
I think we see it with a lot of the bad babies that, you know, his original intention didn't work exactly as he planned it to, like the back massager he invents that accidentally breaks bones.
Right.
The thing that shocks people and melts off eyeglasses.
Right, right. Yeah, but I don't know. It seems to me like if I was a mad scientist, if something didn't work, I'd take it apart.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like one of those things that, you know, Howard Stark has that hubris. He probably thought he could fix it.
True, definitely. That's a good point about that being like Extremis. What else? What else was fun in this episode?
Fun? I don't know if that's the right word.
Well,
it was a pretty
interesting.
Yeah, this was kind of a dark episode.
Certainly, yeah.
I liked seeing the flip for Thompson and Sousa.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you can certainly see that as, you know, now Sousa's the bad cop because he feels betrayed by Peggy.
Exactly. Whereas Thompson had in the previous episode or a couple weeks ago gone through the thing in Russia where Peggy really pulled his butt out of the fire there.
Yeah, so he became more sympathetic and was just the nice cop.
A lot of people have been saying that Sousa may be the person that Peggy actually gets together with after that. What do you guys think of that?
I think that makes a lot of sense because you know, between him and Thompson would obviously be the two leading candidates at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But we've established that Thompson was in the Pacific Theater, and it certainly appears that Cap did all his fighting in Europe.
Right.
And, you know, they say, like Peggy herself says in Winter Soldier, that, you know, Cap saved her husband's life.
Oh, okay. I had
forgotten
about that.
So it's got to be, you know, we have to assume that it's somebody either in the 107th or somebody who served in Europe.
Yeah. Okay, good point. Yeah, one thing that I am incredibly happy about is that in most TV series, there's some kind of a romance subplot, especially if there's a prominent female character. But in a lot of shows, and I'm incredibly happy that they haven't gone that route with Agent Carter, because, you know, the whole setup for this is that they think that she's sleeping with Howard Stark, and they think that she was, you know, having an affair with Captain America, and that's the only reason why she got where she did. So I think it's very good that they've refrained from making that a thing.
Yeah, I think that would have been undercutting themselves and their whole point, like you said, about, you know, I think it would undercut all the stuff she's going through with the SSR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And she's got a good buddy relationship going with Jarvis as well.
And, you know, we've seen that she's still mourning Steve in a way. So nobody is ready to date while they're still mourning, you know, their previous love.
True. You don't want to see Peggy on the rebound. That would be bad. I thought that Jarvis's forgery idea was ill-advised, but it was cute the way that they carried it out. The fact that he walks into the telephone office and he's like, "No, I know what this place is. You should let me in."
Yeah, and what's her name has, you know, her hand on the gun under the desk.
Right. But they do let him in. So and that had me fooled for not that long, I guess, because at first I was like, oh my gosh, what did, you know, why would Howard do that? And then I thought, there's no way Howard would do that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a ruse of some kind. I mean, pretty easily. But I thought that was one of Jarvis's best scenes, honestly. Like, their relationship, the two scenes that really stood out to me for them this episode were the one where he was admitting to her that, yes, he had crafted this craftless ruse.
Right. Yep.
And that then later when they were breaking out of the room together.
Oh, that yeah. was so funny, where he kept stopping them and being like, wait, no, I have this question. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, yeah. No, I've got this other question.
I thought that was just this? Such a good...
What would we do after that?
I just thought that was such a good example of their relationship, like those two moments.
Mm-hmm. So thinking forward, we've got, of course, we've only got one more episode left to wrap everything up. I'm trying to think if there's anything that needs to happen between now and when the Agent Carter one-shot takes place. Because I was thinking for the last couple episodes, Dooley's going to have to go in some way or another because we know he wasn't in charge then.
Right, we've got to bring in Bradley Whitford somehow.
Right, exactly. So is there anything else that's the case of what's going on in the one shot that we need to connect, do you think?
Well, I mean, we don't really see Thompson or Sousa, so either mm-hmm. they're out when everything goes down with Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
Or
in
Zodiac.
The one shot? Yeah.
Yeah,
one
Zodiac,
shot was,
that's right.
With Zodiac. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, we don't see them. So they're either off that night out doing something else.
Right.
Or there's been, you know, a total turnover somehow, or she's mm-hmm. been shipped to a different office.
Yeah, I think it seemed like it's the same office. I remember the layout of it being mm-hmm. very similar with having the boss's office glassed in and everything. So what are you guys expecting for next week?
There's got to be some big reveal about Howard Stark, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely something's going on there. I mean, we've known that from the beginning, but I think it's going to be something that leads into whatever their next thing is. If it's Agent Carter season 2 or another like 8-episode series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it might tie into Ant-Man in some way or mm-hmm. Avengers somehow. You know, mm-hmm.
or it could even tie into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like once it comes back, something to kind of wet our whistles for 2 weeks later when mm-hmm. when they're back on the air. I mean, I would think something that needs to happen, and this is something from an interview I read
mm-hmm.
with James Darcy, basically said there's a big Easter egg coming next week, so something to look forward to there.
Interesting. I wonder. I mean, there's so many ways that they can go with that, of course. Whether it's, I don't know, what do you guys think? We've got the Leviathan characters, Ivchenko and Dottie, are going to try and set this off in Times Square. We're going to have some kind of a revelation about Howard. So what do you guys think? Was it the break-in that started this whole season in terms of where Roxxon Oil was affiliated with it? Or, you know... They brought up the idea that Dottie infiltrated because, what do you think happened? How did this all get started?
Well, it's heavily suggested that Dottie was involved because, mm-hmm. you know, Jarvis mentions Howard being involved with a dancer,
mm-hmm.
hers being the only address where they couldn't find someone, but yet they did find the marks on the bedpost.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, you know,
that there, though?
Yeah.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah, that's, okay. You know, Peggy kind of knew to look for it.
Okay, right.
And that's how she, you know, then spotted the kind of the scar tissue on Dottie's wrist
right,
and knew
right,
that was
right
her.
Right, afterwards, yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much been conclusively established that Dottie seduced Howard to gain access to the vault.
So it's possible that, you know, Roxxon might not have had anything to do with that.
Yeah, Roxxon are just, you know, at this point, evil corporate guys.
Right. Right, definitely. Okay, anything else that you can think of that we're expecting for next week?
I think that Easter egg, it's got to be something. I mean, the likely scenario is that it's something to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think if it's really big, it'll probably be an Avengers Easter egg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, that's the next big release. So.
Yeah, and that's something that I was wondering if there was any way that they could have, like, something tying into Ultron. You know,
yeah.
because that's supposedly something that presumably Howard started and then gave up on, and then Tony picks it up and finishes it.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be the baddest baby of them all?
Indeed.
Yeah.
If that's actually just sitting in the SSR storeroom right now.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe we'll actually see the first, you know, flying car. Maybe, well, it's a little soon. It's about 20 years soon for Lola, but...
Yeah, I think it's a bit early for a flying car, so... But who knows? Who knows? They could go any direction with that.
Hey, Howard did say it would be a few years.
That's true. That's right. That was in Captain America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where he says he tries, and then that kind of blows up on him.
I wonder if it'll be a Human Torch Easter egg, because they showed there was an Easter egg in Captain America: The First Avenger, where they showed, you know, the fabulous flaming man or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phineas Horton's synthetic man, and he's in the glass case that, like, he first premiered in the comics, keep him from lighting on fire.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of comic history.
Yes,
Human Torch. The original Human Torch from the 40s was an android who burst into flame when he was exposed to oxygen. He became a superhero named the Human Torch. His body was actually the body that Ultron used to create Vision decades later. Yep. So we know that Jarvis's personality is going to in some way inform Vision's personality as a
as an AI.
Mm-hmm. Right. Perhaps we'll see something related to his physical form as well. Maybe we'll see something to do with John Hammond, the original Human Torch.
Very cool.
I think it's Jim Hammond. But
Jim Hammond, you're right. You're exactly right.
I don't know if I go that far at this point, because from what they've kind of released and what we've been able to glimpse so far about the character of the Vision, it's something kind of uniquely built by both Tony and Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that's why his colors are red, green, and gold, is that they worked on both together to fight Ultron.
Well, still, you know, if his father had in some way bought Jim Hammond's body, or, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah. That's
a pretty disturbing turn of events, but
I mean, I'm kind of hoping, you know, that they officially name drop the Black Widow program, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would have, I mean, because clearly that's where that, you know, was tied in and headed.
Right.
But yeah, to see what's going to happen after that. Do you think Ivchenko is going to show up? Do you think he's going to get taken out next episode, or is he going to be a possible villain that could come back?
I'd like to see him as a recurring villain, but it seems like he'll probably just go away.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that are, you know, that are still going to be dealing with this time period. I mean, I'm still holding out hope that we're going to get an Agent Carter season 2. You know, with starting up the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D. But
yeah, I'd love to jump to like a 60s setting, like jump 10 years into the future and see some of that, like Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. super cool, you know, Jim Steranko era S.H.I.E.L.D. technology and stuff.
And let's while we're at that, see kind of also a little bit of the infiltration of Hydra that we know, you know, has happened in Winter Soldier and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, right. And so I think there's, you know, I think there's certainly possibilities. And we know that beginning of Ant-Man is going to have some of those characters as well. So not that he's necessarily going to be there, but they are going to continue to keep their hand in with that that time period. So yeah, very, very cool. Yeah, there was one of the MCU fan sites did a whole series this week on possible sort of sub-universes within the MCU, and the idea of doing a whole retro series.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Oh, I would love that to death. That would be so awesome, because there's so many great, you know, Golden and Silver Age characters that they haven't even begun to touch on.
I mean, if we could find a way to get Namor away from Fox, you know, that would be something worth seeing.
Definitely, definitely. I'm really hoping that they're willing to do more stuff that's not present day. And I think that the ratings pulling up a little bit and doing as well as they have, I'm hoping that's a good sign. I know that it was taking a risk in a lot of ways with doing a period piece, and also taking a big risk with doing something with a female protagonist. But I think it's paid off, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens going forward from here. So timetable for releases and shows and whatnot. We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back in March. Age of Ultron is the beginning of May, and Ant-Man is July, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys know what the dates are for the various Netflix series?
Yeah.
Yep.
Daredevil is April.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they haven't. That's the only one they've actually set a date for.
I think it's April 10th, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And then Alias, or AKA Jessica Jones, will be sometime closer to the end of the year.
So, okay. Folks, put in your leave notices for that day so you can marathon it.
Yeah, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a time to use that paid time off and marathon some stuff. How many episodes is it going to be? Do you know?
I think it's 12 episodes.
Okay, cool. So a little bit more than Agent Carter, so they've got a little bit more space to play with there. So
yeah, I think they have a little bit bigger budget probably, too.
That's true. Although, right. I don't know. I guess there's pluses and minuses to doing something on network TV versus something that's going straight to Netflix. But
yeah, I think it'll be very different from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or mm-hmm. Agent Carter in a lot of ways. I think it'll be I mean, it's obviously going to be a lot darker.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely taken from Frank Miller for this. So it's it's going to be worth seeing, and I completely agree.
Yeah, and I'm personally okay with dark. I mean, I get sick of it after a while. But I think that Winter Soldier is right up there with Avengers for my favorite Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it definitely had a darker tone. But we'll see. We're probably going to be striking a balance between the more lighthearted stuff and the more serious stuff. So
definitely.
So, yeah. Lots of good stuff to look forward to. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, thank you both very much, and we are going to wrap things up for this week. Next week, we have the finale of Agent Carter, and we'll be spend some time talking about what we can look forward to in the beginning of this season's second half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll see you then. A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I have to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.